We're going to continue with our series called Modern Family. Last week we talked about some of God's biblical plan for parents. And today I want to look at some things that kids need from parents. I think we all want to be good parents. None of us go into it thinking that we want to be bad parents. We want to do the very best we can. But sometimes we get frustrated and sometimes we don't feel like we're doing the very best that we can. The pace, there's lots of reasons for that. A lot of times it's just the pace of life that we're a part of. It just keeps us so busy and so overwhelmed sometimes that when we come home and when we need to really focus in on certain kinds of parenting technique, or not techniques, but certain kinds of parenting opportunities, we're just so exhausted that we just kind of blow it off. Well, you do that for 18, 19 years and pretty soon you're going like, what have I done? What have I done? And so today I want to look at some things that maybe some things that kids need from parents that are really, really important for us to focus in on. Next week, I'm going to talk about some character traits that are very important for kids to develop within our children. But today, I'm just going to look at seven different things that we as parents need to do in order to instill, to do the very best that we can to parent. Now, don't check out just because you're not a parent either. Or if you're a grandparent, if you got rid of them, if you got rid of them and you're moving on in life. Because we're all responsible for that. Our children learn from everyone. I think about my little home church it's Antelope Hills, which is out in Canby, Minnesota. I grew up in Dawson. State football champions, Dawson. But anyways, I grew up in Dawson. I had to get it in there. But there's a little church about 8 miles out in the middle of nowhere on top of this little hill. It's probably 90 people, 120 at the most at some time. And some of Josh and Caleb grew up there. Karen grew up there. Karen Netterhoff, their mom, grew up there. And it's just a bunch of these good old farming folks. And you go out there and you think, you don't think of it as a big deal, a church that's a big deal. But that was a big deal. We learned from all of them. We learned from the Mosses and the Petersons and the Maynards and what was your name, Karen? Oh, yeah, Beatty. I'm just teasing. From the Beattys. And we learned from all of them. They parented all of us. Back when it was okay to say, don't do this and don't do that from somebody else's family. So it's for everybody. So these seven things are for everybody to recognize and understand what we're trying to do. How do we help kids grow up to the best that they can so that they can make it in life as well? So here's seven things. What kids need from parents. The first is that kids need compassion. These all begin with C words. I figured vitamin C, that's good for you. So these are all C words. These are all good things for you. The first thing is that kids need compassion. Have you ever seen the movie Gridiron Gang? It's based on a true story about Sean Porter, who worked with juvenile delinquent kids in California. And he worked in the Kilpatrick Detention Center in Los Angeles. And he was so frustrated because he didn't see any transformation taking place within those kids. A lot of them came out of gangs, rival gangs, and very frustrated with that. So he decided that he would start a football program and teach kids football and hear these rival and give them a common purpose. His belief was if you give them a common purpose and that they're trying to accomplish a goal, anybody can work together to do that. And it broke down a lot of barriers. And so Gridiron Gang is a story about that. They chose Dwayne Johnson, who probably would, if I was to choose someone to do my life story, it would be Dwayne Johnson, right? The Rock, if you've ever seen The Rock, you know what I mean? Because we look a lot alike. But they chose, what's that? The hair. I was thinking other things. But anyway, Dwayne Johnson plays that part. And so, but it's a great story. But the story goes on and on. What I was really intrigued by is afterwards they interviewed the real kids and some of the things that were going on. And here's this real tough gang guy, He's real tough. And he breaks down at the end. And as they're asking him these questions, and ultimately he sums up why he does what he does. And he just simply said, I just want my mom to love me. That was it. I just want my mom to love me. Love for kids, we kind of take it for granted of course we love them. But yet if they don't sense that, if they don't feel that, that's going to affect them the rest of their life. So having compassion for kids is vital. Showing our love in a variety of ways. The Bible says, and I read this earlier, practice loving each other. For love comes from God. And it's not only talking about Christian people loving, but it's loving our families and loving our children as well. A lot of times we love our kids, but we don't express it in the way that they can get it. And so we need to show our children love in at least three different ways. One is affection. And affection is just hugging them and I can remember holding our little guys when they were just a little baby. They're just so kissable. Now you try to do that to the older boys and they'll smack you. A good one. Get away from me, right? But they still need that kind of affection. They need a pat on the back or a punch in the shoulder, a nice punch or whatever. They just need to feel. They need to sense that love. They need that affection. Very, very important that we show affection to our children. The second is affirmation. They need to hear that we love them. A lot of, you know, a lot of dads have problems with that because we're not touchy-feely kinds of people. And it's really important that we do the very best we can. I don't do that very well. I try to do it and I don't think of it. My dad, I knew, we always know that he loved him, but he didn't express it that way. My mom always did. But we always felt it, so it wasn't a big deal. But it is kind of a big deal to say it out loud so that they can hear it. And then the third way is attention. And that's one of the greatest ways that we can show people or show our kids love is just attention. To get down on one knee and to look them right in the eye and say, I'm paying attention to you. That's huge. But that's compassion. It's having compassion for our kids. And they desperately need it. I read this one last. I read this verse a lot because it's one of my favorite verses in the Bible because it's so applicable to every area of our life. We always use it for weddings. In 1 Corinthians 13, it's really talking about how Christian people are to relate to each other. It's applicable to weddings, but it's also applicable to parenting as well. And it says in 1 Corinthians 13, it's not on your notes there. You don't have it on there because Atai, we need to give him a hand because he scrambled to get those words on the screen. And let's just thank him. We had stuff go wrong this week with that, and we came and we had nothing. So he scrambled to try to put something together. He did it. God bless him. But you don't have my sermon notes up there, and you sleep during this time anyway, so we'll fill it in. But 1 Corinthians, jot that on your notes. It's not in your notes, but 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8, love is patient and kind. Boy, parents, we need that, right? Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. We need that. Love does not demand its own way. Love is not irritable. We really need that. And it keeps no record of when it's been wrong. It's never glad about injustice, but rejoices when the truth wins out. Love never gives up. It never loses faith. It is always hopeful and endures through every circumstance. Love will last forever. That's unconditional love. It's agape love. That's the word for it, agape. Unconditional love. It's not based on your performance. It's not based on how I feel today. It's just simply I choose to love. That's the kind of love that our kids need. They need that kind of compassion. They need that. They need to sense that and understand that. They should never leave our place when they leave our homes when they're 18 and 19 and never say, I wish my mom or my dad would have loved me. They need compassion. The second thing is they need counsel. We are responsible as parents to give them the best counsel that we can. We read last week about Deuteronomy in Deuteronomy 6, beginning in 1 through 7. That's a powerful passage where it's God's plan for parenting. But I just want to read a section of that again for those of you that missed that. It says, these commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. You must teach these commandments to your children and talk about them when you're at home or out for a walk, at bedtime, and the first thing in the morning. It's our responsibility as parents to pass on information, things that we've learned in life. Now, it's the kids' responsibility to listen to us. That's the hard thing for them because for some reason they don't think we know a lot. But we've been through the mill before. We've been their age before, even though I know that's hard to imagine that. We have been their age. We have gone through very similar situations. And we try to pass on that good counsel. I love this verse because number one, it says parents, it's our responsibility. It's no one else's responsibility. It's our responsibility to pass on that information. We don't turn that over to the government. We don't turn that over to schools. We don't turn that over to the church. It's our responsibility. We're the parents. Now, we help support you the very best that we can, but it's your job to pass on wise counsel. First, then just part of that is you need to be wise. You need to make good decisions so that you can pass on good information, and especially about spiritual life, to pass on those foundational truths to our children the very best that you can. We're imperfect, and none of us get it right, but we got to do the very best we can in order to do so. But I like this passage because it's just in the everyday life. And I think about all the lessons that we learn and the wisdom that was passed on to us by our grandparents, by our families, by my mom and dad, just in daily routines in life. I can remember sitting out on the farm and all the things that I learned. Farming is a great thing to learn. You learn so much because you're always outside doing something. And so I learned how to weld and I learned how to build fences and I learned about the birds and the bees. I asked my dad one time, what's the difference between What's the difference between a bull or a male cow, and a female cow? And I thought it was horns, because all of our bulls had horns. But his great wisdom, he says, was same thing between a girl and a boy. That was his way of, I don't want to talk about this. Oh, okay, long hair, short hair? I don't know. Okay. Those are the moments, though. I think of those moments. My dad was pretty shy about that, those kinds of things. But you learn, you know, I can just, you know, driving in the tractor, giving information out, giving counsel, asking about the news on, you know, I catch my kids, we're listening to the news, and they go, what does that mean, Mom and Dad? What does this mean? And that gives you opportunities, see, throughout the day to give them wise, to give them wisdom and to pass on information. So they're learning. Sometimes it can, you know, the when little guys start asking, why? And that can drive you crazy if they get to that stage in their life. Why? Why do you do this, Mommy? Why do you do that? And you go, nah, stop. They're just trying to learn. They're sponges at that time. And if you can just pause for a moment and just say, oh, okay, no, you know, they're not us. They're not adults. So we got to quit treating them like adults. They're trying to absorb things. So just sit down and just start to explain things a little bit. It gives us a great opportunity to give good counsel. The Bible says in Proverbs, I already read that. I'm going on to the next one already. Deuteronomy 6:7, you got that in your notes. So give good wisdom or pass on life. Your home life is like a seminar. I think I call it a college of life. Every moment you have an opportunity to teach. So take advantage of that opportunity. Third, kids need correction. This is the favorite one, kids. This is your favorite one, correction. Kids do need correction. You know what? None of us are perfect, including our children, even though we like to tell people they are. But they even make mistakes as well. They're human beings. It's built into their system. Then one of the tasks of parenting is to help our kids learn about life, and sometimes the greatest lessons of life are learned after mistakes have been made. And so we teach and we try to do the very best we can about that. Ellie's not in there. Is Ellie in the room, Ellie, or Carrie? Okay. Ellie made cookies yesterday. I didn't want to embarrass her. And here she's growing up, and she was making some cookies, and she put them in the oven, came out, and they looked like brownies, and they all, it just went in the pan, and it just, and it cooked into the pan. She goes, Dad, they look like brownies. And I saw her put them on. She did exactly what we found out was, that she took, instead of flour, she used powdered sugar for flour. Yeah. And so that was a good lesson to learn, that powdered sugar does turn, it just goes like that. Now, I bet you the batter was really, really good. I bet you that was really good. But anyway, those are just little fun little lessons to do that. You know, I learned on the farm not to play with fire. That's a good lesson. And I can't tell you how I learned. I still have sores based after that. But those little things, you need correction in life. It's hard for parents to do that because they don't want to hurt their children's feelings, and sometimes they don't want to hurt them. But they need that. They need structure. And they need no's. And they need yeses. Proverbs 13, verse 24 says, if you refuse to discipline your children, it proves that you don't love them. Isn't that something? It proves that you don't love them. If you don't discipline them, if you love them, you will be prompt to discipline them. Proverbs 19:18: Disciple your children. That should be discipline. Discipline your children while they are young enough to learn. If you don't, you are helping them destroy themselves. That's another interesting passage. You're helping. If we don't build in structure in their life, if we don't say no once in a while, and if we just let them do whatever they want to do, that's destroying them. In Romans chapter 1 and chapter 2 of the Bible, Paul is talking about how the world knows God just by looking out in nature. You know a little bit about God. You don't know everything about that. So there's really no excuse for ignoring God. And then he says, and people do that, and then he turns them over to their way. His punishment for rejecting him is, I let you do whatever you want to do. That's a punishment. We think, that's awesome. As a child, we're going like, yes, we can do whatever we want to do. And God says, no, that's your punishment. Why is that? Because it eventually comes in and it destroys you from the inside out to be able to do whatever you want to do. So discipline is really, really important. How you discipline is important. There's a difference between punishing and discipline. Punishing our children, punishing typically takes place when we're angry and that we're kind of appeasing our own feelings of anger. That's where you got to be careful, and that's where abuse can get involved with that as well. But discipline is, now it doesn't mean that you don't get angry. You get angry, but you control that. And then discipline has a plan towards it. Your purpose is correction. Your purpose is teaching. And so there's a big difference about that. These passages are clear that disciplining your children is very important for the well-being of your child. The passage don't teach you that you are allowed to overdo discipline. And there's a big difference between that, like I just stated. The focus of punishment is about the past, what you've done wrong. But the focus of discipline is how you're going to change your behavior in the future. It's really about your attitude about that. The attitude of punishment is anger. The attitude of discipline is love. Now, the key difference for many times during punishment and discipline is your own attitude. Am I angry when I do this? If you're angry when you're doing this, then you got to be careful about that. I still did. One time I was getting at my two older boys weren't listening, right, Brandon? It happened once, right? I was talking about the yardstick. You remember the yardstick? Oh, yeah, you bring it up every time. And they were not listening, and Jaxie was doing something. I took that yard, they don't hurt, but I happened to get it so that it broke in half. Whoops, and it broke in half. That happened, 50 years ago, and they still bring it up. Dad, you remember when you beat us with a stick? I didn't beat them. I got their attention, and it happened to break right at that right time. And they still remember that. So that was inappropriate, because that's what they remember. And the point wasn't, they were being naughty, and I had to get their attention. That got their attention. It still did. So don't do those kinds of things. Here's the key with discipline. The key with it, I don't have time to go through. There's some really good methods about that. I'm not going to get into spanking and those kinds of things either. I just don't have time to do that. You need to do something that gets their attention. That's for sure, right? The main thing with discipline is consistency. If you say no, keep it. Kids figure out how to work you. They figure it out. They figure if they can nag you long enough, you'll go, okay, you're driving me crazy. Here, take it. No, 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 no. No, 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 no. When you say do this and they don't do that, then don't reward that behavior. It's very simple. To me, it's one of the simplest things. If you say no, then just be consistent with it. If you do this, this is what's going to happen. If they do it once, do this over here. I guarantee you that maybe they'll try it twice, but they won't do it a third time. It's really easy. Now, you can be stubborn like me. You know, I took a little more prodding in order to get it. But I guarantee it's amazing. We learned a lot Carrie's learned a lot through daycare. She's done daycare for 20 years. And consistency is key. When you say don't do that, if they do that, there's a consequence right away. Not after 10 times, but right away. You're amazed at what they can do. And you don't have to hurt them or anything like that. It's just consistency. But it's very, very important. Kids, you know, here's another thing. Just a little tidbit. Kids won't die if they cry because they don't get their way. I've never heard of an example of that. And I know it bothers you to hear them. As long as you're doing it correctly, you know, I'm not talking about hurting them at all, but if you take something away and they're crying, that's okay. They learn. That's how they learn. I know it's hard to hear that. But after the fourth child comes, you have to learn that right away. First one, it's pretty, you know, every little cry they have, and oh, you don't want. But after a while, you go, oh yeah. That's enough of that point. Hopefully, you get that point. That's a whole thing. I tell you, it's not as hard as there's some kids that are really, really. I mean, I was like that. I mean, I would go, and I would stuff my pants with paper plates because I knew I was going to get a spanking. I mean, that's how planned I was. And my dad told me that one time. He says, we tried to discipline you. This is a really important thing. This is an important thing. Oh, gee. It's an important thing. He told me when I was older. He says, you know, Aaron, you're one that, Mom, we tried to discipline you. And you were one that had to learn it on your own. But, he says, I want you to know that we'll always be here for you. Isn't that, he taught me about grace. That's a whole nother story. But that's what he told me. He goes, you were one that has to learn it on your own. But we'll always be here to pick up the pieces. And that was more powerful to me than a spanking, that my mom and dad would be there no matter what. And that made me want to change. It really did. So key is, so they need that. They need that. Ephesians 4, verse 29. Do not use harmful words, but only helpful words, the kind that build up and provide what is needed, so that what you say will do good to those who hear you. So discipline, they need correction. Number four, kids need confidence. A few years ago in the state of California, educators discovered some interesting statistics about self-esteem in students. They found out that third graders had 85% of third graders had a very positive self-esteem. They felt good about themselves. But in junior high, that number dropped to 65%. And in senior high, it was about 5%. Isn't that interesting? That when they're younger, all of a sudden it starts to wear on them for a variety of reasons. It seemed like the older they got, the worse they felt about themselves. Why is that? Well, some of it has to be related to the emphasis on TV and movies on beauty, perfection, money, doing whatever we want to do without consequences, all that stuff. That gets in the way of how we see ourselves. Some of it has to do with not being able to measure up to what we expect out of them. Parents sometimes put these high expectations, and it's okay to do that. But we have to be careful about, we have to think, are we trying to live our life through our kids? Because our kids are very much different than we are. And are we forcing them to do all these things because that's what we would have liked to have done when we were their age? Or are we trying to figure out their personality and adjusting our style based on their personality and where they want to go? That's very important to understand that. And maybe our expectations, it's not bad that we hold that expectations, but what we have to be careful about is not making them feel like they're a bunch of failures because they haven't done our expectations. Because then they start to internalize that. Especially if we back that up. We just have to be careful about it. And we're trying to, you know, a lot of it has to do with culture around us about what they classify as being something of value. What is valuable? But a lot of it comes sometimes that we can drive our own kids crazy from the expectations that we have for them. You know, are you an unpleasable parent? Can your kids do anything right? If they get a C, but you say you should have got a B. If they get a B, do you say you should have got an A? You see, sometimes they're doing the best that they can, and therefore they feel like a failure because they're not measuring up to what mom and dad expect. They clean their room, but you say it wasn't done right. They paint their house, but you say they did a bad job. They mow the lawn, but it's not straight. See how that can always... Now, some of it, you got to balance it out as far as teaching them how to do things. But a lot of times it's just, you know, are we always looking to build them up and not necessarily tear them down? And again, don't misunderstand me. It's good to have good goals. You want, you know, to teach them the benefit of having good grades. Later on in life, you find that out for jobs, for getting into schools, even getting into the armed forces. They're basing that on grades nowadays because they're cutting back on the forces and they're, you know, all that stuff. So those are good lessons, but just make sure you're not doing it for your personal benefit and you're doing it for the child's. Pretty soon kids give up because they can never measure up to your expectations. So that's why in Colossians 3 verse 21 it says, don't scold your children so much that they become discouraged and quit trying. In order to raise confident kids, we need to spend time building them up instead of tearing them down. In 1 Corinthians 13:7, if you love someone, and then it says you will always believe in them and always expect the best from them. In 1 Thessalonians 5:11, encourage one another and build each other, build them up. There's a great book, and I highly recommend it, especially if you're having trouble in your family. It's called Whale Done, W-H-A-L-E, Whale Done. And it's written by Ken Blanchard. It's kind of a business book, but it's also about families. And he talks about how they train killer shark or killer whales. That's where the whale comes in. And you know what trains killer whales? It's encouragement. Can you believe that? You think of a big hunk of tuna. But what killer whales love is encouragement. And so what they do is they teach these killer whales to swim, and then they put a, you know, how they get them to jump like this. And so what they do is they raise a rope, and then they go over it, and then they go, yay, good job, Shamu, good job. And they go, you know, they thought, oh, yeah, yeah, I'm going to do that again. And so they come around again, they do it again, and then they go, yeah, good job. And then they raise it up a little bit, and they jump higher. Pretty soon they're out of the water. That's their method. That's what the book is about. He goes and interviews Ken Blanchard. He's a Christian man, and he does a lot of these real small books. You can read it within 2 hours. And it's just in a story format. Wonderful books. And this is how they train them. And then he applies it. He goes, now try that with your kids. Put them in a... feed them fish and put them in a bowl of water, right? Oh, not that part. He says, try encouraging them instead of saying, why isn't this room picked up? I can't believe it. And then you're kind of barking at each other. Try to look for a positive. Oh, man, you did a good job with these clothes here. But how can we maybe, let me show you how to do this part. And he uses it as an example how it changes the whole atmosphere when you use encouragement instead of like that, right? Instead of being a killer shark, you know, building up. Now, sometimes you're going to have to, you know, when they don't listen, there's times when you get frustrated. But the whole point of that is encouraging your children. So they need to build, you need to build confidence in them. Number five, they need celebration. You need to do some fun things with them. You know, you can't be so stiff that you can't have fun. So look for opportunities to do fun things with your kids. Ecclesiastes 3 verse 4 says, a time to weep, there's a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. It's okay to be loosey-goosey in some things so that they can enjoy some things in life. And that everything doesn't have to be perfect all the time for them. Perfect situations, perfect this, perfect that. It's okay to be messy once in a while. Ecclesiastes 11:8, people ought to enjoy every day of their lives, no matter how long they live. So look for ways to enjoy things. Do fun things with them. Do fun trips. You know, one of the best things that I loved doing with my dad was he was very busy and he was out on the farm, but sometimes he would take me in the truck, or he'd take me in the combine, or he'd take me to an auction barn. I know that's really exciting for most of you. It is, to look at cattle and bid on that. One time I was in an auction barn, and I was bidding. I was probably about 6 years, seven, probably Carson's age, about 8 years old. And the cattle come in, if you've ever been in there, and you just raise your hand. I thought it was kind of cool. That guy would raise his hand, and they go, hup! And then, hup! Hup! You know, and so I raised my hand. And there's probably about 300. This is a big auction barn. This is back when big cattle. And the auctioneer stopped and goes, that young man boating, or is that young man buying here? Everybody's laughing at me because they were just, so I was buying cattle at whatever it is they had. But I remember that, you know why? Because then I got to go with my dad to that, and then we got to eat coconut cream pie. Yeah, coconut cream pie in the smelly old cafe right next to the cattle barn. It was awesome. That was a big deal. But that's part of having fun. When you take your kids out and do those special things, you're enjoying. I mean, that was fun. You know, my dad was working, but he looked for opportunities to have fun. So they need celebration. Also, kids need challenges. Number six, they need challenges. One of the most important life skills that all of us have to learn is how to be responsible. And the same is true for children. Children need experiences and challenges to help them develop responsibility. And the only way to teach your children responsibility is to give them responsibility. So it's okay to make them clean their rooms. It's okay to... Carson this week was cleaning the house like a madman because he was going to get a couple dollars to do that. And I didn't know a dollar was so exciting. But to an 8-year-old or 9-year-old, that's pretty exciting. And he had that whole living room cleaned up, and he was so he went out and washed the windows out and on our big patio door. He was pretty charged up about that. Now, if we can just get him to do that every week, that's the next hurdle. But give them challenges. Luke 16:10 says, whoever can be trusted with little can also be trusted with much, and whoever is dishonest with little will also be dishonest with much. So teaching them little things. One of the biggest lessons I learned, here's another farming thing, but I grew up in 4-H, and 4-H we would take cattle. They're the ones that bring the cattle to the fairs. And so I would take a calf, and we would raise them when they're little babies. And then we would learn how to feed them and take care of them. And then we would learn how to tame them. And then we'd lead them around. And then we'd learn how to show them so that a judge can come and see what kind of, you know, what condition they're in, so on and so forth. So we learn responsibility. And I learned the hard way one time. I didn't feed my calf for a while, like for a few days. And what I didn't realize is when you don't do that their toes grow in. It affects their growth, and it makes their hooves go in, curls, because they lack nutrition. And so mine were all gnarly. And so my dad, you've been feeding your cattle? I said, yeah. He says, how come their toes are all pointed funny? That was a hard lesson to learn. I was hurting those. And that's part of the responsibility of learning to take care of things. You can do that within your family as well. They need to have challenges. Give them some goals to accomplish and then hold them accountable to those goals. The last thing kids need is consistency. Kids love consistency. They like to know that they can count on mom and dad responding in consistent ways. Children need parents who are consistent, not always changing their minds or living in a home where one day you're a happy-go-lucky and the next day you're crabby-go-yucky. Now, there's two interesting verses in the Bible that makes this point. The one is in Proverbs 31, 26. It's talking about a godly woman, and it says she speaks with wisdom and faithful instruction on her tongue. So when she's got a purpose behind what she says, but it's faithful, meaning that it holds up. It's consistent. The other one is quite strange. Colossians 4, 1, it says, you slave owners, kids will go, that's right, they're slave owners. That's what they're doing to us. No. Listen to the point. Slave owners must be just and fair to your slaves. Remember that you also have a master in heaven. Slavery is a lot different than it was in our back of our minds in the late 1600s, 1700s. It was more like indentured servants. It was more like your job. It's almost more like an employment situation. But they didn't have great big businesses when you were employed. They took you in, you became their servant. But the point of that is, as you treat your servants, you're supposed to be fair and responsible. The point is, be fair and responsible to your children as well. If you're supposed to do that in that kind of context, how much more you should do that in your family? That's the point of that passage. We have to have wise, faithful to our promises. We need to be fair in our decisions. Inconsistent parents produce insecure children, bitter children, broken children. There's no more greater source of bitterness in people's lives than a broken promise. The worst thing that a child would say to me, my kids have said, but Dad, you said you were, but I can't. Yeah, but you said that you were going to go to the movies, but how, well, things have changed. But you do that enough? They know that doesn't matter. Dad said this, but it's not going to happen. That's inconsistency. And that makes a person very, very fragile. All right. Those are seven things that we need to do with our kids. They're very, very important. I've included in your list here a very cool list of children's Ten Commandments from parents. Read through those. Post them on your walls. Those are very, very powerful statements. They come from Kevin Lehman from one of the books that he's written. I think I wrote the name of the book on your paper there. My hands are small. Please don't expect perfection whenever I make my bed or draw a picture or throw a ball. My legs are short. Please slow down so that I can keep up with you. Commandment number two, my eyes have not seen the world as yours have. So please let me explore safely. Don't restrict me unnecessarily. Commandment number three, houses will always be there. I'm only little for such a short time. Please take time to explain things to me about this wonderful world. Number four, my feelings are tender. Please be sensitive to my needs. Don't nag me all day long. You wouldn't want to be nagged for your inquisitiveness. Treat me as you would like to be treated. Commandment number five, I'm a special gift from God. Please treasure me as God intended you to do, holding me accountable for my actions, giving me guidelines to live by, and discipline me in a loving manner. Commandment number six, I need your encouragement to grow. Please go easy on the criticism. Remember, you can criticize the things I do without criticizing me. Commandment number seven, please give me the freedom to make decisions concerning myself. Permit me to fail so that I can learn from my mistakes. Then someday I'll be prepared to make the kinds of decisions life requires of me. Commandment number eight, please don't do things over for me. Somehow that makes me feel that my efforts quite don't measure up to your expectations. I know it's hard. Please don't try to compare me with my brother or my sister. Commandment number nine, please don't be afraid to leave for a weekend together. And we don't argue about that, by the way. We're fine leaving our kids, as long as they have a key for the closet. I'm just teasing about that. Don't write that in your notes there. Please don't be afraid to leave me for the weekend. Kids need vacations from parents, just as parents need vacations from kids. Besides, it's a great way to show us that your marriage is special. And the last thing is commandment number 10. Please take me to Sunday school and church regularly, setting a good example for me to follow. I enjoy learning about God. Isn't that great? Post those on those things. Let's pray for our families as we try to do the very best we can to parent and encourage them. Lord, thank you for this opportunity as parents that we have to train up the children in the way that they should go. And we need your wisdom and we need your patience. We need your love, that unconditional love. And forgive us when we fail, Lord. And I hope that they forgive us when we fail. But we love our kids and we want to see the best for them. And I just pray that you help us know what the Bible says about doing that and how we can do that in a very good way. And then help us as a church encourage parents. It's hard, especially if the single parents and they have to do it all by themselves. That's a huge amount of responsibility, and it can be frustrating and it can be draining. And we pray for those that are doing the best that they can, working hard at trying to be a good parent. And Lord, we know that we can be forgiven, and we know that grace abounds. And we need grace. We need grace as we try to do what you want us to do with our kids. So thank you again for your wisdom, and help us do the best we can to be good parents. We pray this in your name. Amen.